We are going to the table of the Lord, Exodus 28. These are, fourth verse, these are the garments Well, let's go with the second verse. Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. I probably should preach on that verse someday, because I'd like to spend more time on it. Where do you think you get your gifts? We talked about being chosen before the worlds were formed. Where do you think you get your gifts, you called of God? The carpenters, the doctors, the poets, the artists, the translators. Now, all that was seen in the end, when these instructions were finished and carried out, was the high priest wearing these garments. He was chosen for that task. But thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. God gave me, and there is no one who recognizes it more or testifies to it more freely than I know God gave me whatever gifts I've got. Nothing that I've produced. I don't teach because I got a PhD from Stanford University. Thank God for the opportunity and the diligence of motivation that sharpened tools. But God gave me whatever gifts I have to teach his word. But I stand on your shoulders. I could preach for hours on this. Thou shalt speak unto all that have the means, whom I have filled with the means, to make this network spread, that Gene Scott may minister on these airways. If there's any one thing that stands out in 1993, I have, from the book of Ephesians and other places, sought to give you a new sense of the dignity of God's calling, your opportunities, and your placement in the body of Christ. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, and a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Same thought again. I can't seem to leave it. That he may minister. That he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Aaron couldn't do it if those to whom God gave these supportive talents and skills didn't do their part. They did their part that Aaron might minister unto him in the priest's office. It'll be a big surprise over there at the judgment seat of Christ when a lot of you are foolish enough to think that I'm going to get some special reward, and God calls you out, and you stand equal on that great day in sharing the rewards for all that we've accomplished, because you have been faithful in your part, as I try to be faithful in my part. But this is communion time. They shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet and fine twined linen. Christ. Now we're going to go to the table of the Lord with the discernment of what Christ has done. Aaron the high priest, of all symbols in the Old Testament, was the type of Christ. The garments, eloquently as the doors into the tabernacle testify to it, speaks of Christ. Gold is the color of divine nature. Blue, his divine nature in the sense of being eternal. Gold is divine nature in the sense of the outraying of God's own express image and purpose, his righteousness. Purple, his true role as the king. Scarlet, his loving sacrifice as the suffering servant Messiah who gave his life's blood for us. And fine twine linen, his perfection. And it shall have two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. Two shoulder pieces join the ephod, the back and the front. And the curious, or literally skillfully embroidered girdle of the ephod which is upon it, which girds it together, shall be of the same, gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen. The ephod, front and back, the girdle that holds it together, all telling us by the colors we're speaking of Christ here. And thou shalt take two onyx stones. Now, onyx is a relatively cheap stone in today's world. This, all Hebrew scholars will tell you, is a precious stone, not like the onyx as we now know it. Engrave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on the one stone, and the other six names of the rest of the other stone according to their birth. And I need Mick out here quickly with a camera. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, thou shalt engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in uches, which literally is settings, of gold. The onyx, a precious stone in its original meaning. Settings of gold. Set in that which typifies the divine nature of God. And on the names of each of these, come over here, Mick. And on the names of each of these onyx stones, precious stones, and I have here a picture, another one of the engravings out of one of our rare Bibles. Go where the pencil is. Of the high priest's garments in his full robes. Here's the ephod connected, the front part hanging down, the girdle. And here are the two onyx stones that connect the ephod front and the backside. On these onyx stones, on the shoulders of the high priest, set in gold. That means cradled in divinity, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. What's that got to do with me? Well, if you're in Christ, you're in the tribe of Judah in its most blessed state. All that was promised to Judah in Christ is ours. That's why we will rule and reign with him throughout eternity, because the scepter was given to Judah. Six of the tribes, get back to the pencil, according to their birth, We are newborn, new creation in Christ Jesus. Our names rest on his shoulder. Now, get away from this, come to me. I want to go down to the 15th verse. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, of purple, and of scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. Second row, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. Third row, a ligurian, agate, and amethyst. Bible scholars have spent a fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings, or again, settings is the Hebrew word. So set in, come back to the picture now on my pencil. Set in the precious jewel of the onyx stone are the names of the 12 tribes according to birth. Set in the breastplate are these precious stones, four rows, three each, containing the names of all the tribes of Israel. Very simply stated, we are set in his nature, the gold. We are carried on his shoulders and on his heart to typify, set in his strength, held up by his strength, carried in his heart, set in gold. Now, what can all this mean as I just began to teach on the garments of the priest? What I say every night when I go to the table of the Lord. Our standing before God is in him. We're on his shoulders, set in the type of all types of his nature in gold. We're on his heart. We have a high priest, the book of Hebrews says, that's touched with our infirmities. He stands as our advocate before the Father. And in the symbolism of these priestly garments, he carries us on his shoulders in his strength. He carries us on his heart in his concern. That's the confidence I have as I come to festival to, in faith, claim his promises and partake of the elements of the table of the Lord. And won't you take this cup tonight in that frame? Probably 1,000 times, and many thousand more times, I hope. I point out the traditional error of the church that has people come to the table of the Lord with guilt and fear instead of with joy and faith and confidence that we're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. The tradition that produces fear comes from a misinterpretation of what Paul said to the Corinthians, when he said, don't partake unworthily. That gets mutated into don't partake unworthy. Paul never said anything about partaking unworthily. In 1 Corinthians 11, the word he used, as I just said it, was unworthily. It had to do with the manner of partaking. Partaking as the Corinthians did, with no perception or discernment or attention to the meaning of the elements, but tacking it on to what was called the agape or the love feast, where some of them even got drunk before they partook of the table of the Lord. And Paul defined eating and drinking unworthily when he said, you eat and drink not discerning the Lord's body. I teach before we partake these elements because the wealth of types and scripture portrayals throughout the Old Testament that point to Christ give us the ability to discern Christ's body and understand what it is that he obtained for us at Calvary, which we remember as we take this cup with the wine that symbolizes outpoured blood or his life poured out because of our sins in our place. We're not viewed by him or by God as outcasts and as sinners and as rejected and as recipients of God's wrath. The important thing of these two elements on the shoulders of the priest and on the breastplate, even though it confounds the biblical scholars as to what in a modern setting are the true nature of these gems, the onyx stone and the 12 stones that were in the breastplate, one thing there is absolute agreement on. They were precious stones. It's as the parable says concerning the one who paid the price to buy an entire field which typified the world in order to get the treasure out of the field, or the one who sought the pearl of great price, which contrary to some traditions is not Jesus, he's the seeker. We're the pearl of great price, and that this cup is the price, or symbolizes the price. God took from the bank of heaven the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, one worth enough to stand in all of our place. And he gave his son, and his son gave his life for us. We're not viewed as outcasts, depraved and full of sin, I repeat, recipients of wrath. He laid our sins on Christ on the tree, and he bore the penalty for our sins. As we discern this cup tonight, we have this standing. We're on his shoulders as a perfect, beautiful, precious stone. We're on his breast as gemstones. We're seen as precious in his sight because he paid this price as a testimonial of the preciousness of those that he chose before the worlds were ever formed. That's what the breastplate says. That's what the onyx stones on the shoulder say. And because the price was sufficient, we're now cradled in his nature, in him. And I can take this cup tonight and partake of it in the assurance that I am viewed as an adopted member of his family. I'm viewed as a gemstone on his heart. I'm viewed as a gem on his shoulders. I'm made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Take the cup in that sure knowledge as we do it together in Jesus' name. Two elements at the table, as I always point out, not just wine. The wine symbolized the price he paid for our redemption. If sin's the only thing at issue, all you need's the cup. But we're on his shoulders, recipients of his strength. He obtained something else for us at Calvary, because we are precious in his sight. With his stripes, we were healed. The broken bread symbolizes that other thing that he accomplished for his precious ones in his sight. He bore our sicknesses and he carried our infirmities. He was bruised, not just for our iniquities, but for our sicknesses that he took the full weight on, as Isaiah 53 says. He took the full weight on himself and carried him away. Not just in his heart, on his shoulders I find strength. And that's what the bread symbolizes. For me tonight there's healing, and for you tonight, wherever you are, there's healing as we take the bread in Jesus' name and say together, with his stripes I was healed. Now, don't go to music yet. Once again, I'm going to give you this. This is Doc Note 35, because I'm beginning, and just touched it tonight, to teach on at the communion the high priest, his meaning, his work, and the robes that he wore, and the breastplate, as I have tonight, and the onyx stones on his shoulders. It's an etching out of one of our Bibles. I think you'll find it as helpful as the pictures I gave you of the furniture in the tabernacle. It's yours for the asking. Ask for Doc Note 35 as we now go to music, and they give you the address and the phone number.